always, it's, I think everyone's been encouraged to see not only Levi, but some of the young guys in the chapel kind of starting to take their responsibility seriously and really showing a desire to grow up in their faith and their walk with the Lord. So really appreciate that and just encourage you guys to continue on in your walk with Him. So tonight, I wasn't 100% sure when Bill asked me about sharing the message. At first I thought, oh, nice, I don't have to take quite as long of a time. And then I started preparing, and then as I was kind of getting my stuff together this afternoon, I realized I don't have enough time. So I had one of those emergency change of directions. I guess I'll say that's the Lord's direction in that case. So anyways, I'm going to talk to you tonight about some of the things we've been talking about at Awana over the past few weeks in the Truth and Training group. So some of you in that age group or leaders might hear some things repeated here tonight. But what the name of the book and the section that we're learning about is Grace to You, and learning about God's grace and how it impacts us. So I'd like to share some of the things that we've been discussing, as you know, they seem very simple to us, things that we're very familiar with, but it never hurts for us to be reminded, and of such a great thing, especially like the grace of God. So when we think about the grace of God, and we think of the definition of grace, anybody that's been involved with Awana is probably familiar with one of these two definitions. Either it's giving someone something good when they don't deserve it, or God giving us what we don't deserve. Very familiar definitions that we're familiar with. We know what that means. Or you may be familiar with the acronym for GRACE, God's Riches at Christ's Expense. Either way you look at that, though, the meaning of that word and the fullness of that word is pretty amazing when we think about it in terms of what God has given to us. And when we think about grace, there's a couple of verses that come to mind, one in particular, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When we think of the idea of grace in terms of our salvation and what God has given to us, understanding, as it says in Romans 3, 23, that we are all sinners, and because of our sin, we are separated from God, and we have no way to have a relationship with Him without the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is God's gift of grace to us. Those of us who, as Levi alluded to, those of us who are sinners, and we all are, to have a relationship with God, we have to accept that free gift of salvation. And tonight, if you haven't done that, I urge you to pay attention, because some of these other things won't apply to you. But God has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, freely. All we have to do is accept that free gift that He's given to us. And it's an amazing gift that He's given to us. And the forgiveness that we get as a result of receiving that gift results in us having peace with God. And Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, which is one of the passages that the kids memorized this year. I'll be reading a number of passages, so feel free to flip if you like, but I'm not going to wait, so we have just you can follow along. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So because of God's grace given to us that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith we can know our sins forgiven, and we are not only forgiven, but we are justified. God looks at us through the lens of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sees us as holy, which is an amazing truth and something that I think we take for granted, that just how we've been pardoned in this way. And we just should thank the Lord Jesus for this gift of grace that He's been given to us. And then we can truly say, hallelujah, what a savior to that truth. And as a result of the forgiveness and the justification that we have peace with God. We can have a relationship with Him, and that strained relationship because of our sin is no longer there. As we continued with our study in grace, we thought about the idea of not only, now we understand that we can be saved by grace, by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but after that we understand that we are still human beings, and human beings have a sin nature in us, and our flesh desires that we sin, and we still live a life for ourselves. And so we carry on in our lives, and we try to do our best, but we do sin, and we fall short sometimes. And thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us grace in terms of sanctification and how to live our lives for him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to step back a bit because I jumped ahead of my notes here. I was just thinking back when we're thinking the idea of grace and thinking of our sin nature. We looked at the Apostle Paul, you know, because the kids sometimes and people in general think, well, I'm too bad to accept this free gift. God is never going to give this to me because of my sinful wickedness. I've done too many bad things. God isn't going to want to give anything to me. And we looked at the example of the Apostle Paul and looked at his life and how when Paul was Saul, he was a pretty bad guy. He did a lot of bad things, terrible things, killing Christians, persecuting them. And we read in 1 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul writing to Timothy, talking about his former life, he says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul did all these things thinking that he was actually serving God, but in reality, he was doing the exact opposite. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So despite how wicked and bad Paul was, we learn that even in a situation like that, God granted grace to him. He deserved punishment, just like we all do. And you would think even more so for a guy like Paul and all the wicked things he did against in the name of God, but really which were against him. So we saw how God is so gracious. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God is gracious towards you. Another example in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, Paul says to the Galatians, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was doing the works that he thought were right, but they were against God. But then we see the great work of God and the mercy and grace that he showed to him in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 when he writes, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And he can say that for himself, and we can also claim those promises tonight. So as we continued on, back to where my notes here, we continued on thinking about this idea of in and out of ourselves, we sin, we fail, we fall short. And God grants us the grace to carry on despite our mistakes. He doesn't punish us immediately, strike us down when we sin. He's gracious towards us, isn't he? And although we do sin, we know that we have sin, we're not going to take advantage of that grace God gives to us, are we? God tells us in his word that we're to stop sinning. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we read, what shall we say then? After this great chapter 5, talking about the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered to us, Paul continues on after that, saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we are expected, as those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, claim the promises of God to live a life that is pleasing to him. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, because although we try to do it in our own strength, we can't, and we fail. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul writes here to the Galatians that this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So Paul is, what he's saying to the Galatians here, because they were confused. They thought, well, okay, we're saved, so now we got to keep doing good for God, so we got to follow all the laws, we got to do all the right things so that God is happy with us, so that God is pleased with us. That will get us to the standard that we need to get to. Paul is saying, don't be so foolish. Did you get saved because of the works that you did? No. God's Holy Spirit worked in you, and you were saved by his grace only. So you can't continue now to try and get better on your own strength. You need God's Holy Spirit to work in your lives. It's a supernatural thing. We can't save ourselves, and we can't make ourselves holy or better. We need God's Holy Spirit working in us. And he's reminding the saints of that in Galatians. So we talked about that a little bit with the kids, understanding that We can't make ourselves better in God's eyes. It's only by His strength, by His Spirit within us, trusting and relying on Him, that we can do that. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5 reads, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit." And the Holy Spirit directs us as we read God's Word, as we spend time in prayer. His Spirit speaks to us, changes our hearts, makes us become more aware of sin, and this is a process called sanctification, which we talked a little bit about. The process of God changing us from within by the power of His Holy Spirit within us to become more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to honor Him. After we learned about this idea of sanctification and how the Holy Spirit helps us, we went into talking about how we can practically live out our life for the Lord Jesus and show grace to others. How can others see this idea of grace in us? In Titus chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, I'm going to read this passage. We're particularly focusing on verse 1, but I'll read this entire passage, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, with the idea that we were learning that we need God's grace to obey. It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So here we see a little review even of some of the things we've already talked about tonight. But in this particular passage, we were looking at the idea of the call for us to be obedient. Each one of us is to be obedient. Now, in terms of the kids, we were particularly talking about Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, and their need to be obedient to their parents, and that is important. This is just a way that we can show our love for our Savior by showing grace in these ways. And God gives us the strength to do that. For those of us who don't have parents to answer to, we have to answer to those in authority. You know, sometimes we don't like that. Nobody likes, a lot of times people like to do things their own way. Nobody likes to bend to someone else's wishes or their will. But we're to be submissive, and the Lord Jesus grants us the strength to do that by His Spirit again. All of these things are things that we can't do in our own strength. God grants us the grace to do that, and He's given us His Spirit. And John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So we learn about the fact that we have a hard time obeying, but God gives us His Helper. So in times of need, we turn to Him and ask for Him to help us to be obedient to those we must be obedient to, as He's called us to. That is an example that we can show to others. We continued on, and we're thinking about God's grace to forgive and how we ought to show the same forgiveness to others, which is a difficult thing for us to do. Again, in Ephesians 4:32, we're reminded to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We were learning about biblical forgiveness and what that means. Not just forgiving, saying I'm sorry, and it's a little more than that. It's a little deeper than that. We were looking at that in terms of what that means. And biblical forgiveness is about, number one, choosing to love someone even though they sinned. Number two, choosing not to punish someone because they sinned. Number three, being kind and forgiving even when it isn't deserved. That's a tough one. And learning to forget about someone's sin, not holding grudges. Those are ways that God has showed that kind of forgiveness and that level of forgiveness to us, hasn't He? We are not deserving of God's forgiveness. We have all sinned against Him, and we deserve punishment, but God has forgiven us of these things. And he doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't hold that over us. We've been justified. We talked about that already. We have peace with God, and we have been justified. That our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And we should have that attitude towards others, as difficult as it may be. Sometimes people, even when they don't deserve it, even if they maybe haven't said sorry to you, we need to show forgiveness to others, don't we? We've been commanded to do it. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Very convicting for us to take this lesson to heart and to follow the example that the Lord Jesus set for us in forgiving us, giving us that grace. And again, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, because we know in our own strength, this is an extremely difficult thing for us to do. Each one of us has been hurt by another person, and we know what that feels like, but we're to forgive them. Ephesians 3, verse 16, again, we read that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We're seeing all of these examples of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, giving us the strength that we need to be obedient and to show this grace to others. Our final thing that we looked at was how we can show acts of grace in love to others. And Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 reads, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's a great opportunity. We think of characters, worldly characters, even that, you know, not necessarily believers, but we think of people like Princess Diana, or think of Mother Teresa, two examples of ladies who are now gone, but who are very different in the way they conduct themselves. But these ladies, to the world, were very good. They did a lot of good works, and people were drawn to them because of their good works, weren't they? They thought very highly of these people. And although good works are not going to get anybody to heaven, we're not saying that, but people are drawn to us when we do good works, right? We are created for good works. We are created unto good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So how can we be an example to those of us around us? How can we show them Christ's love? Well, we can do that by doing practical good works for them, can't we? We had a dinner here once where we served people from the community, and they appreciated that. That's one small way that we can do that. There's all kinds of examples where we can serve the greater community around us, show them the love of the Lord Jesus, that, as it says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The idea is not to bring glory to us when we do that. We're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. We want others to see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. They want to be drawn to the Savior. Maybe we bring them in by serving them a meal, but ultimately we want to show them that we love the Lord Jesus. And that's just a simple way that we can do that. For the boys and girls, we talked about simple things like holding the door open for an old lady coming up the stairs or something. Very simple acts that we can do, but things that speak to people, things that stand out to people in this day and age where those kinds of things are, they're not very common. Just simple ways, practical ways that we can show love to one another. And as we can think about that, this verse is important to think about the second part of that verse in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have a responsibility to one another to show love and good works to each other, to build each other up. People, you know, we have an opportunity to be a witness and a testimony in the community. We are one big family. You know, amongst our families that are actually related by blood, we are related by a much better thing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should show that same love for family to each other. And when we do that, when people in the community see maybe somebody died and they see the support of everybody coming to the wake, all the people from the assembly coming to the wake and supporting this family, that's just one example. Or bring meals to somebody. People in the community see that and they say, what is with this Charlottetown Bible Chapel? Why are they have this bond, there's a connection there. It's a witness to the people around us to see that we have something different and we have a love for each other and a love for our Savior. And so that's just an opportunity that we have to show each other those things. And John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." We have an amazing opportunity just within our own group here. We have a big group of people here, and there are people in need all the time. There's always somebody that you can lend a hand to and show God's love to them, show grace to them, because he's done so much for us. Now, of course, that verse right off the bat, we know it's difficult because it says right off the bat, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." It is tiring to always be doing good, to always be stepping out and doing things for other people, but it's what the Lord Jesus did for us, and we should do the same. But it can't be all one person doing it. That's why we've heard the call this morning, many hands make light work, down at camp, cleaning the chapel, small things. You don't have to be doing some great sermon or something like that. We have great opportunities that we can all lend a hand and help. And if one person is doing it all the time, they're going to get tired. But when we're all helping each other out with the strength of the Holy Spirit within us, as we read in Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We have an opportunity to do that, and with his strength, he strengthens us from within and gives us an insight into the things he would have us to do and to live a life pleasing to him and honoring to him. So just some ways you can think about of how you can do good to those around us and to those in within our midst to honor the Lord Jesus for all that he's done for us. So just some thoughts that that we've been looking at as we look at the Lord Jesus and we look at this idea of grace and how his amazing grace towards us impacts our lives in so many ways, not only for salvation, right? We have this amazing gift of God's grace. We have been saved, but we have a responsibility beyond that to live a life that shows God's grace to others. And so let's take this, what God's word says to us, seriously, and let's put these things into practice, that we might be a light to the community around us. We might be an encouragement to one another. We would put aside the things that are holding us back. Maybe it's someone that's hurt your feelings or something in the past. Forgive them. Be obedient in the ways that God has asked us to be obedient to our authorities. Be submissive in the ways God has asked us to be. And follow Christ's example of grace towards us and giving us all of these things that we do not deserve. I hope that's been a bit of an encouragement to you. I know I've enjoyed talking about these things with the kids. And with that in mind, I just ask that you would continue to pray for the Iwana Club. And we're winding down. We're getting to the end. And there's so many boys and girls that we've had the opportunity this year to minister to and to help them along. And some of these kids don't appear to get much instruction or help from home. So, you know, pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in the boys and girls' lives and in their hearts, and that they would come to know him at a young age and have a desire to live for him. And just want to thank you for supporting and praying for the club throughout the year. Just closing a word of prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we are just amazed at your grace. And Father, we thank you that you have shown us this grace in forgiving us of our sins through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and offering us this great gift of salvation. None of us is deserving of it. Each one of us has a different story to tell about our lives before you. And Father, yet you know the needs of each one individually. And you made it possible that no matter what, no matter who it is, good or bad, small or big, young or old, each one can come to you by this great gift of grace that you've given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask that you would help us to appreciate the grace that you've showed to us and you've given to us more. And in doing so, that you would help us to live out a life of grace to others, that we would be showing kindness to each other, showing love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the community around us would see our love for our Savior and love for our brothers and sisters, and they would be drawn to you, and that we would be a light in this community, that we would, Father, our works would speak to our love for you, and that, Father, you would just help us to rely on your Holy Spirit within us, to strengthen us, to renew our minds and our hearts, and that through the reading of your word and spending time with you each day, Father, your Spirit would show us the things you would have us to do. How can we show grace to somebody else today? How can we show the Lord Jesus Christ to someone else today? Father, I just ask that you'd help us to be responsive to your Spirit's leading in our lives. Help us to be allowing your Spirit to direct us in living a life of sanctified towards you, set apart for you, that we would be putting aside our old man and putting aside the sinful things that used to distract us and just focusing on you. Father, we just thank you for your love for us and for this opportunity we have to learn from you. We pray for each one here that you would help us to go home with a greater desire to serve you and to know you and to love you. We, Father, pray for the family of Vincent Loma Moore tonight as well. We think of them as they mourn the loss of their daughter in this tragic death. May you be glorified in this difficult circumstance. I pray that you would strengthen them at this time. And Father, we pray too for the mission work down in Peru and that we've heard about tonight. We think of the poverty, and we can't relate. And these people are hungry for the Lord Jesus, or sort of seem to be hungry for something. Lord, I pray that they would be filled with the truth, and that those in our community who are witness to, think of the guys going out on Monday evenings, pray that you would just put your word into the hands of those who want it and who need it, and that they would see fruit from their labor. Father, we just thank you for their willingness. Pray that you bless them in that work. And we ask you to take us home in safety now. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.